For y'all that don't know, Craig has an accounting degree. He went to Oklahoma State University and graduated with an accounting degree, but he didn't go that direction. He went into the ministry, but he knows how to run all those numbers and so forth and so on, and he keeps telling us, well, the numbers are saying different than what some people are saying. So, you know, we have to really be very cautious during this time of what we listen to. Main thing we got to do is listen to the Word of God and believe the Word of God, period. You know, somebody said, well, aren't you concerned? Well, I'm concerned, but I'm not worried, because I know what the Bible says, and I'm living in line with the Word of God. And hey, like Craig said, if you want to wear a mask, that's fine with you. Me, I don't care. If you want to wear a mask, that's good too. It's not going to hinder me at all. I have preached for 62 years, and I've preached to all kinds of audiences and everything else. So it won't bother me at none at all, okay? Also, if you want a distance, you can go up here in the balcony. I left the balcony open this whole time, so if people say they want to get away from everybody, well, go sit up there in the corner somewhere. You'd be a long way away from anybody, okay? But, just be smart and stand on the Word and confess the Word. See, you got to see the impossible become impossible. You know, when you start out on a trip, how many of you ever started on a trip? You didn't see the destination. You saw scenery, you saw road construction, you saw all kinds of stuff before you ever saw your destination. And yet, you accomplished your journey 1 mile at a time. You know, what if your friend said, I'm going to leave in the morning at 6 o'clock and drive to Dallas. So about 8 o'clock, you drove by their house and they're sitting in their car in the driveway. And you stop and you go and you say, hey, listen, I thought you was going to Dallas. Well, I was, but I can't see Dallas from here, so I don't know whether I can make it or not. Actually, that's the way some people approach life. They're sitting on the couch going nowhere because they can't see the possibilities that are out there in the spirit realm. Of course, you know my favorite scripture, Luke 18:27, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. We've got to learn to look ahead at the things that are possible when men say it's not possible, because God says it is. You know, you've got to look at the unseen and see it by faith before it ever is a reality in the seen world. You know, one of the greatest secrets of success is to learn to look at things in the right way. To look at things with the eyes of doubt and fear, you'll believe you can't make it and you won't. If you look at things with the eye of faith, you'll believe with God all things are possible. Anybody that's ever played sports has had a coach look them in the eye in the locker room and tell you, see yourself shooting the basket, hitting the home run, winning the race. Any of you have ever had a coach tell you that? You're in the locker room. You're not even out on the field yet. And he tells you to see yourself winning. See, we've got to see ourselves living our life in line with God's word. In Romans, it says, Romans 4 there says, God calls those things that are not as though they are. See, that seeing the unseen before it is seen. You get that? Look at 2 Corinthians 4:18. We all know it, but we're going to read it again. I'm going to read it from the New King James, also from the Amplified, and also from the NIV. All right. While we do not look at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen, for things which are seen are temporary, but things which are not seen are eternal. Now the Amplified says it like this: since we consider and look not at the things that are seen, but at the things that are unseen, for the things that are visible are temporal, brief, fleeting, but the things that are invisible are deathless and everlasting. We fix, New International Version says, so we fix our eyes we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. This scripture is telling us to look and focus on the unseen possibilities of the Word of God. See, it is possible with God. Actually, Mark 9 says all things are possible with God if you believe. Sometimes people get so locked in to what they see is and hear that's going on in the world that they become depressed and full of fear. And that's sure a possibility in the days that we're living in. If you listen to some people talk, you wouldn't even go outside. Hello. See, people began to think that all there is what you see with the physical eye. But that's not according to the Word of God. According to the Word of God, there is an unseen world, the spirit world. Now, that's on both sides of the fence. There's a spirit world on the evil side, and there's a spirit world on the God side. Hello? See, when you have your eyes fixed on what's happening all around you and all of your problems and all of your difficulties, it begins to make you doubt, and it makes you more get your eyes more on what's happening, and then your eyes are off of the reality of God's word, the possibilities of God's word. You see, we don't ignore the fact that the natural is real, but we accept the fact that God's word said that if you will believe me, you can change your world. Now, I'm not talking about the world. I'm talking about your world. Your world is the sphere in which you operate. You work. You go to eat. You go here. Stop and think about it for a minute. And you travel most of the time the same area all the time. Your life is lived in the same area. In fact, we had to go down, we were out of town for voting, and we had to go downtown Tulsa to the place down there so you could vote early before we left town. And since we don't have camp meeting downtown no more, I don't know, I don't know when the last time I've been downtown Tulsa. And it's changed a lot, because my world consists going down 71st Street and then getting on the freeway and going to my house and coming back down here and coming to around this campus and going down here to White River and then back to my office. That's one of my favorite places to go, especially on Tuesday night. They got lobster. But my world consists of that. How many of you realize your world consists of basically the same thing? But you've got to begin to realize that in your world, with all of your difficulties and everything else that's coming into your life, let them pass and look at the possibilities of the Word of God, the promises of God. The world is saying impossible. God is saying possible. The world is saying, and your circumstance and your situation and the things you are facing is saying impossible. But God's Word is saying, if you believe me and confess my word, all things are possible. See, you've got to see it and confess it, and I'll get to that in a minute, before you can have it. We are all limited and with our natural resources, with our natural abilities and everything else. But I'm going to tell you what, we are not limited with God. I mean, our assets may not be very much in the natural world, but we got a lot of assets in the spiritual world. We got our number one asset in the spiritual world is the promises of God. The Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of us, that tells us we can make it because greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. We have the name of Jesus. That's the greatest and the most powerful name there is. In fact, he told his disciples, reading in John there, said, up until now, I'm going to paraphrase it, modern day language, up until now, you have asked nothing in my name. But ask the Father in my name, and he will do it. There is power in the name of Jesus. I have been in places, traveling the world, and there was unrest. I remember one time my traveling person and I were in one of the countries, and of course you're having to go in and you go through all of the customs and all of that. Well, it was pretty rowdy, but then all of a sudden over here people started screaming at one another over here, and then it started over here, and all of a sudden the place was about to erupt into a riot, I thought. Man, people were screaming at one another and yelling, and I just started under my breath. I just started saying, Jesus, 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 Jesus. And you know what? Everything just started. It settled down. You can't speak the name of Jesus three or four times without all of a sudden you begin to feel something on the inside rising up. Why? You're giving the power of God an opportunity to operate because you're using the name, that name that's above every name. You know, we have the angels. Now, people don't think about it a whole lot, but we have angels. You need to learn to begin to command the ministering spirits. That's one of the things. It used to be in a set, and I pulled it out and made a single out of it. Dad's faith for saying it for finances, and one of the things he says in there is, you speak to the ministering spirits and tell them to go and cause the finances to come. See, we have some authority in the name of Jesus. The angels are subject to us when we ask them to go and to begin to do some stuff. We have the greatest asset that we have, or one of the great ones. I don't know. All these are great. I don't know which one is the greatest. I shouldn't say it that way. But one of the great assets we have is the power of God. You know, God has not called us to live by what we see on earth. He has not called us to live in what we are dealing with. He has called us to live by faith with the promises of God coming into reality in our life on a daily basis. I tell people all the time, if you've been to Rhema school, you've heard me tell you, believe God for something every day. How many ever heard me say that? Believe God for something every day. Keep your faith active. If you're gonna have a good workout exercise, you have to do it on a consistent basis. You've got to do the same thing with the Word of God. Consistently quote the Word, believe the Word, and call those things that be not as though they were. We've got to learn to see the obstacles in the world as possibilities for God. You see, we don't walk by what we feel, by what we see, by what we're enduring, by what we're going through, but we walk by faith. Faith in what? Faith in what God's Word says. There's all kinds of faith around. Every one of you had a natural faith. When you come into this auditorium and you sit out on that pew, you have faith. You believed that when you sat down, that pew is going to hold you up. You didn't even think about it. That's faith. All of you not even thinking about it, you got keys in your pocket, and you will go out and you will get in that car and you're demonstrating faith because you're expecting that car to start. See, that's a natural faith. We all have a natural faith. But we need to take and realize that we can take that same attitude and that same kind of faith with the promises of God and expect them to operate in our lives daily also. It's all what God said. Some said, well, so-and-so said. Well, maybe it's good. But I'm interested in what God said. And I'm not, you know, I don't hear it as much as I used to. But I've been around this a long time. I've been in all my life. I've been in church since I was a week old. I was born on a Sunday morning. I was in my dad's church the next Sunday morning. I've been there all my life. But I used to hear people, I mean, and I talked to Dad about it when I got to be, you know, in a teenager and then into Bible school. I said, Dad, these preachers, they get up and they quote the Word of God and they say, now this is what I think God's saying. He said, I know, son. He said, they're trying to help God out, and God said what he meant what he said, and he don't need anybody to explain it. I believe it that way. I believe God meant what he said and said what he meant, and that's it. This Bible, I say, I got it from my father. He said, the Bible says it, I believe it, that settles it, period. You go up and you ask him, well, Brother Hagin, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? He will immediately look at you and says, what does the Word say? There's Doug Jones sitting back there. When he graduated from Rhema, he started traveling with Dad. He traveled with him for I don't know how many years with him. Actually lived in his house. And Actually, he was sort of, you know, back then Cheryl was the receptionist over at the ministry, and they started talking one another. And one night, my mom, he was sitting around the house over there, and mom said to him, "What are you doing sitting here? Why don't you get out there and go take that girl out?" Didn't she do that? She treated him just like she would me. But he traveled with my dad, and I know he's been there when people come and say, "Well, Brother Hagin, what do you think about this?" And his immediate answer was, "What does the Word say?" That should be all, no matter what comes our direction, no matter what happens, good, bad, or indifferent, our first reaction needs to be, "What does the Word of God say?" That's what counts. Thank God for a lot of people. They're saying good things. And I sometimes can agree with some of these guys. Sometimes I can't. But I want to tell you what. The Word of God is the final, ultimate verdict. You know, some people, are all they can see is the problems. If they don't have one, they'll bar it from the 6 o'clock news. You ever had somebody, when you go up to talk to them, all they can talk about is all the bad things that's going on? They never have anything good to say. It's always, "Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know whether we're going to make it or not. Oh, it's just so bad." And they get this long look on their, sad look on their face. You know, "We're probably all going under. But I'm not. You may." I told a guy that one time. "You may be going down. I am. I'm not. I'm going with God. God don't go down. He goes up." So I'm going up. You know, if we want to live a victorious life, then we've got to look at the promises of God and not at the problems of life. I didn't say they didn't exist. They do. We all face them. But armed with the promises of God, you will walk through them and overcome them. The Bible says so. I believe the Bible. There will always be obstacles. But every obstacle presents an opportunity. An opportunity either to pack it in and shut down, or to rise up with the Word of God coming out of your mouth and walk triumphantly over every obstacle. You know, stumbling blocks in your pathway should become nothing more than stepping stones. Some people run up against the obstacle and are looking for every kind of way to get around it or get under it or something like that. No, take the Word of God and walk right through it. Anybody getting anything today? We have problems, yes. We have situations, yes. But we have the Word of God. And by faith, we possess possibility instead of impossibility. Of course, Mark 11:23, we all know what it says. It's the cornerstone of this ministry. "I say unto whoever says this mountain be removed, be thou cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he says." See, it's two-pronged here. It's believing and saying. Some people want to believe, but they don't want to say, "Well, I don't know whether I want to confess that or not." Well, as long as you got your mouth shut, nothing's going to happen. If you continually look at all of the obstacles and the mountains of life, and you continually speak about them, you will end up in utter defeat and failure. But if you continue to look into the promises of God and continually speak the promises of God, you will find victory and success. It's up to you. Believe and declare, or keep your mouth shut and talk about how bad it is, excuse me, and go down. Believe and speak. Believe and speak. Say it with me. Believe and speak. If you want to see impossibilities become possibilities, you have to believe the word and speak the word. Declare God supplies all of your needs. Declare that you're healed by his stripes. Declare that you have protection and safety. Declare that you have the peace of God. Declare that you have victory through Jesus Christ. Paul said that he always triumphed in Christ Jesus. Not sometimes, always. Believe and declare that the promises of God will make a way for you where they say there is no way. Until you believe and declare the promises of God, they don't happen. They're just good promises. And a lot of people, when I was a kid, everybody had one of these deals, they call it precious promise box. Most people had them sitting on a table and they would read one every morning before they left. And that's all they ever did. The promise was there. It was from the Word of God. It was promises from the Word of God. They would read it, and that's it. That promise is not going to come to pass until you really believe it and begin to confess it more than just reading it one time. How many times, I'm 80 years old, and Craig, you're only 51. You're not 52. You will be 51 in July. Next week, 22nd. So I've been around this, you know. And I see people talking about the promises. I see people saying, oh yeah, God promised this and God promised that, and yet none of it is happening in their life. Did you know you can talk about something, but until you go out and put it into action, nothing happens? You know, I'm running track for Canyonville Bible Academy, 1957. I mean, the four of us that ran in the state track meet in the 880 relay, we could sit in that dormitory room and talk about winning the race. But you know how we won our way to the state finals? It's by going out there on that field every day and running 880 relay after 880 relay, 220 after 220, 220 after 220. And then going out on race day and making it happen. You cannot expect the promises of God to begin to be fulfilled in your life by talking about them ever so often. You have got to quote the word every day and demand that the enemy get out of your life because the word of God says so. Let me close this thing down because I'm already close to time to quit. The word faith, F-A-I-T-H, right? Let's do a little exercise here. We got, yeah, this is called RCA, but really it's the Rhema Church Auditorium. Okay? We got acronyms. All right. Faith. F-A-I-T-H. F. Focus continually on God's promise. Focus continually. A. Ask God for the things you need. He says in the word, ask him. Ask. I dream with the Holy Ghost. Imagine God's promises coming to pass in your life. See it. Just like that coach told you, sitting in the locker room, see yourself scoring the winning touchdown. See yourself shooting the winning basket. See yourself hitting the winning hit. See, imagine, see. I sit around all the time and think about the promises of God, and I see them happening in my life. I see them in this, you got to see them in the unseen realm before you have experienced them in the natural realm. Okay, T. Thank God continually that the promises of God are working every day in your life, 24/7. H, hold fast to your confession of God's word. Hebrews tells us to hold fast. If they're telling us to hold fast, that means that it could be taken from you. How is it taken from you? By you not continually confessing it. The enemy will come in and say, oh, you don't think it's really going to happen, do you? I got this from my dad. He always said when the enemy come to him, he'd believe in God for something. The enemy come say, you don't think that's really going to happen. He'd always say, I don't think it. I know it's going to happen. Why? Because of what the word says. It all comes back to the word. I got a little exhortation here from the Lord I want to close with. It's time for some of you to wake up and to start doing what you know to do. It's time for you to rise to a new level with the Word of God. So embrace the day you're living in. Know that it is a step into the things I have promised in my word. Believe what I have spoken to your heart. And although you do not see it with your physical eye, even now you can see it with the eye of faith. So it's time to rise up and declare that which I have spoken to your heart. And boldly declare that you will see and walk in the reality of what has not yet been seen. For my glory shall arise upon those who will believe my word and go the way that I have spoken. For you shall not walk in that way alone. I've already been there, and I will walk with you every step of the way. So rejoice and be glad, for this is the time to rise up and walk in the unseen promises of God. Hallelujah to Jesus. That's just a little exhortation that I felt like came from the Lord. Praise God. Heavenly Father, I've talked to these people for a few moments today to stir up their hearts and their minds with things that they already know, that we've got to continually see that the unseen promises of God can become a reality in our lives. But we must believe and we must speak. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Trust you receive. Anybody get anything this morning? I know I was speaking to you about things that that most of you already know, but it doesn't hurt us to be have a reminder ever so often, you know? Remember when you used to go back to school, they would remind you every year of what you had studied the last year, and then they'd go into more stuff. Peter says in his, he says, as long, reading it there from Peter, as long as I'm in this body, he said, I'm going to keep reminding you of these things. Anybody ever read that over there? So as long as I'm preaching up here, I'm going to keep reminding you of some of these things. Sometimes we get so busy and wanting new revelation that we're not even walking in the revelation that we have, and we need somebody to remind us about it. Amen and amen. Well, everybody stand up. You know, because we're trying to respect everybody, and would you bow your heads for just a moment? If you happen to be in this place today, you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you're watching me online there, I never like to have a service that I preach in that I don't give an opportunity for somebody to find Jesus or someone to rededicate their life to God. You know, a lot of people have accepted Christ, but then they're not just living where they need to, and they need to need a rededication. Someone asked you to repeat this prayer after me with this congregation out there. You repeat it. Heavenly Father, thank you for your Son Jesus. I believe he came to this earth. He lived. He died on a cross. You raised him from the dead, and he's alive and well today in heaven. You said in the Holy Word, in your Holy Word, if I would believe those things in my heart and confess them with my mouth, I will be saved. I've confessed them with my mouth, and I believe it in my heart. And I thank you now that I'm a new person in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. If you're in this congregation and you prayed that prayer of rededication, or for the first time, if you see one of these people in these blue shirts, talk to them. They'll help you get some literature before you go. If you're watching online and you prayed that prayer with us, you can go on the computer to partnerservices@rhema.org and tell us about it, and we'll get back to you. Amen. Mm-hmm.